Good afternoon, everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. BM Grace calls for a fast. First time ever. So keep your smiles. Keep your smiles. What did Jesus say about fasting? Basically, comb your hair, dress nicely, put on perfume, be normal. Right? What you pray, what you do in secret, the Father sees and He will reward you publicly. Amen. I think there are many things in life that are a bit more complex and maybe this can help. So let me just, you get these notes, they're available at help desk, right? This is just done by me. Okay, I didn't copy this from anybody else. The notes are quite simple. Concerning fasting, some people may have the idea that if you follow the doctrine of grace and everything is done, why bother fasting? Because it's all Testament stuff. Because otherwise we begin to reintroduce works and so on and so forth. That is one view. But just haul it there and listen to this. In Luke chapter 4, we are familiar with the story that Jesus was baptized and then the Spirit came upon him and led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Right. Now listen to this. John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare the way. All right. So John is fulfilling his commission. He's gone to prepare the way for him who is to come. Him who is to come now turns up. Remember? He turns up and he says, look, just baptize me. All right? So heaven opened, what looked like a dove come down. Father says, this is my son in whom I will please. So there's no mistaken who this person is. So the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Have you ever wondered why the Spirit would lead him into the wilderness? Okay, this is not my main sharing, so I better keep it short. When we fast and it's Spirit-led, it's like being led to a wilderness. Can you follow me? Except that Jesus goes to the extreme because His victory is all our victories. Can you see the difference? When He is led into the wilderness, that means He's away from the comfort of home, His brothers and sisters, His family, His profession, and everything else. He's following the Lord in obedience to baptism. What does that mean? In other words, he's everything about him just like us. He is led into the wilderness so that he's completely isolated. On top of that, he fasted. Now, it does not mean that only days did the devil suddenly come with the three famous proposals. When he is led, he was already tempted. It was a process. In that process, it was revealed that the devil's best three shots were exposed. Do you see what I'm trying to say? In that wilderness experience, it was a wrestling, it was a testing. We know that he did not sin, right? Because he resurrected from the dead. In that testing, he was completely successful. And in that process, the best shots, the best strategy, the best thing that the enemy could throw at him was exposed. In his maximum weakness, he had two things in his arsenal: the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. What do you have? Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you're a believer, yes. Do you have the Word of God? Yes. So, if we go into battle, will we win? Yes. Because why? The enemy has only three, and we know exactly what they are. First, you are hungry. Turn the stone into food. No, we feed on God's word. Amen? It's not just this carnal thinking, this carnal life that is paramount, but it is the word of God that is paramount. For a moment he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. For a moment. It's like there was another dimension. The dimension that we don't really see, but the dimension that the devil can see. He is the prince of the world. The lure to success and victory and money compromises. That's that lure. Just bow down and worship. So what does the devil want? Worship. The devil wants worship. He wants attention. Thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God. Amen? What about the third one? Took him to a higher spire. Jump down. Surely the angels will look after you. Do not be presumptuous. Don't take matters into your own hands. And don't think you're invincible. Stick with God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Amen? Don't take him for granted. He's not an ATM. You know, he's not a fire brigade either, you know. Operate 999 or 919 or 911, whatever it is. Right? Just calling for help. Panic. Hit the panic button every time. You know, help me, help me, help me, help me. No, we are supposed to be sons with a stature. We carry his name. Amen. We have the cloak of righteousness over us. Amen. And we are seated with him in the heavenly places. Do we make mistakes? Yes. We can certainly call for help. But we must not make ourselves pathetic. You know? Okay. So this call for a fast, it disciplines ourselves. It brings us to that situation that whatever the enemy may have in store, that is exposed. Follow me so far? Is a deliberate attempt to get to that place for him to be exposed. Because the victory is with us. Amen. It's something special. We don't do it very often. In fact, I talked about it, I think maybe it was in May. Then Gawai, then Hari Raya, Hari Raya Haji, things, and then all sorts of everything. So I thought, okay, October looks a little bit better. All right? So there we are. Now, let's look. In the book of Acts, you see this in the notes, by the way. The minister, people prayed and fasted, and they said, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul. It was the early church put into practice prayer and fasting to listen to the Holy Spirit, who he had in mind to call out for ministry. Amen? And as we do this, maybe God will work in your heart, or maybe he's already been tugging your heart, and you sort of didn't quite pay attention to it, and maybe it will make it a little bit clearer this time. In Acts chapter 14, again, with prayer and fasting, they commended the elders, and they appointed elders in the church at that time. So in other words, it was part of New Testament church practice. Important things, who to call into ministry, who to send out, who to appoint to eldership. These are important things, okay? Then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll add out here, right? The Apostle Paul says this, concerning intimacy between husband and wife, that perhaps you can consider abstaining from this while you pay attention to prayer and fasting. So what is he saying? What is he saying is prayer and fasting is to be expected, the intimacy is optional. You following me so far? Alright? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, look, in all his ministry, he had difficulty and challenges, you know, in patience, in tribulations, in need, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Why did he fast? Well, I tell you what. If you follow through in Ezra chapter 8, Ezra led the second return of exiles from Babylon. Right? So he got permission from the king, and so on and so forth. And then he says this to the king. He says this, I proclaim a fast at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. This is a leader. He's a priest. He's a spiritual man. He's taking the second batch to come up from Babylon to return. He's got his permission. Then he told his people, let us fast to humble ourselves. We're going home. So that God can sway. For who? For us and our little ones and all our possessions. Can you see where this man's heart is? And he says also, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, and his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. In other words, he has declared to the king the power of his God. Can you follow that? My God will look after me. He's good. And the enemy will suffer his wrath if they dare to come against. If you dare to speak like this, then you don't go and ask the king for escorts again. You see what I'm trying to say? Why? Because the king is a Gentile. He doesn't worship your God. Amen? So Ezekiel knows his God. And he says, I have said this to the king. I am ashamed to ask for escort because I have told him my God will look after me. That's basically it. Amen. So sometimes in our families, in many situations, there might be things that are not very clear. Show us the way. For all of us, our children and all our possessions, we want to head home. We want to head the way that God has for us. Amen. It's a checkpoint. It's a good checkpoint. You know, it doesn't mean that we're not blessed. It doesn't mean that we, you know, everything is so crumbly and bad, no. But if everything is crumbly and bad, all the more reason, you need a checkpoint and don't carry on the same direction. But it's a checkpoint, submitting, humbling ourselves before God. Amen. Now, I want to move quickly because it's not really... In Daniel and Joel, you see in the notes here, this is more, Daniel remembers his covenant, right? He says, Jeremiah says, we're only in exile 70 years. The 70 years is up, so it's time to go home. Daniel was a young man when they were taken out of Jerusalem. Now, the conquest of Jerusalem and the judgment, everything else that God put on Israel was not due to Daniel's fault. Are we agreeable on that? Are we agreeable on that? But did he understand what happened? He did, right? Did he also read his Bible, the nature of his God? Yes. Did he understand the nature of covenants? Yes. Did he understand what God promised? Yes. But was he in a position of influence and leadership? Did he worship God? Was he sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Could he understand all those things and put it all together? Right, and then what did he do? Out of his own initiative, he fasted and he prayed. God, have mercy on my people. We really blew it. We blew it big time, man, super big time. Please forgive us. I know you, Lord, your covenant. You have made us your people. So I know you will not forsake us. I also know your prophet Jeremiah says, time's up. It's time for us to go home. So, God, be with us. Be with us. Can you understand that? So, the last 2 points in Daniel and Joel is more like intercession. We fast, we pray, not so much just for ourselves, but we begin to consider others. Amen? And last week, I talked about Samuel correcting Israel because they made a mistake asking for a king. You know, if you look at our nation, I think you agree with me, there have been lots of mistakes. We seem to make the wrong turn, you know? One right turn, followed by 10 wrong turns. And after that, we find ourselves going in circles. Do we learn a lesson? No, we have a different generation. Guess what? We still turn the wrong turn. It would appear to be anyhow. So, we can also pray and fast for the nation. Joel, for example, considers calling, he prophesied to the leaders, get everybody together, consecrate a fast. Things are bad. Consecrate a fast. Seek God. Get His direction. Amen?